Hey, Exchange family, this is Exchanging Stories. Well, hey, Exchange. So we are back for our final episode of Exchanging Stories, Elder Wife Edition. And if you've been tracking along, maybe you can remember or guess who's next. I saved the best for last. I get to interview my wife tonight, or today, Jana Cahoot. Hey, Jan.
Hi.
So why have you been postponing this interview for so long?
I don't enjoy microphones.
Well, here's the deal. For those who are listening, we recorded, and I think there's references to this all throughout the other wives episodes, that it was summertime. It was literally people were coming in shorts and t-shirts, and it is now February 17th while we are recording that. We're recording Monday before the Wednesday. Why is that?
Well, you knew you could fit me in at any point.
Well, that is true, and also she avoided it at all costs. So I finally just said we're going to post an episode with all blank space, no words, and tell people that you refused. I'm kidding. She was willing, but just super busy. And so we are revisiting the whole thing. So if someone doesn't know who you are, Jan, maybe they're new. Maybe they don't necessarily know how to associate the face with the name. Tell us where they might see you, and also who goes with you at Exchange.
I'm usually sitting on the front row, sometimes by myself, because Brian is preaching. Both of our boys are on the worship team. Our kids are Brody, who is 17, Levi, who is 14, and Avon, who is 13.
Yep. So where are you serving at these days?
I'm usually back in the children's hall. A lot of times I'm coordinating, which is greeting people as they come in and welcoming new members or new people as they check their kids in.
Yeah, that's a Sunday morning role. Lots of other things going on too. You help, I would say probably actually more than help. You lead a small group. I help lead a small group. Often weeks, I'm asking Jan, where are we having it? Who's going to be there? That type of thing. We've led a small group for how long?
Almost the whole time at Exchange.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time. And at Northwake or Sitting Church, quite some time before that. So you have been wrangled once or twice to speak at a women's thing or something like that.
A couple.
And so she's around the prettiest girl at Exchange for sure. so we start this podcast out with bookending two truths and a lie. You can't tell us which one is a lie at first. We have to see if people can guess throughout the episode, and then we'll revisit it. We'll come back to it. So give us your topics, two truths and a lie. What do you got?
Okay. I always wanted to be a dentist, but I decided that I wanted to start a family and not go to school for that long. So I decided to go to school for dental hygiene. Number two, I worked at a nursing home and regularly took naps while I was supposed to be working. And number three, I got married really young at 18 years old.
Okay. So I'm confident I know the answer to at least the third one, if that's true or false. But you have to wonder that Exchange as well. I think some of you know some of those stories behind those. But if you don't, ask a friend, phone a friend, and stick around to the end, and we will let you know. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Maybe what kind of hobbies, what do you do? You're super busy. I know that. But what are some of your hobbies, and tell us about maybe work also?
Biggest hobby is definitely our farm. Spend a lot of time outside. We're currently building a new farm, so a lot of projects there. Our family enjoys backpacking, or did. We're currently living in an RV, and so I don't know if our days of backpacking will come back
around.
Why
would you say that? Why? What? What's the correlation between living in an RV right now and backpacking?
I mean, we've just had a lot of being, which we love being outside, but it's just the whole like not sleeping in a real bed, not having a nice couch.
So you
like,
think
we've
this
basically
is,
been
you
camping
think this
for
is
9
ruined
no,
backpacking?
No, it'll just be a minute till we okay. till we do that again.
All right. So we do enjoy or have enjoyed backpacking. We have the farm. Those are some of your hobbies.
Yep.
What about the farm? What's some of the things that you really enjoy about that?
The animals. We have a lot of animals. And that's just one of the things that I love. I love being outside, just kind of piddling in the barn, working on projects, taking care of the animals. Definitely a very life-giving thing for our family.
Okay. So lots of work and lots of stuff going on at the farm. What else do you do? How do you fill your hours the rest of the week?
I am a dental hygienist a couple of days a week.
Mostly three.
Yeah, mostly three. So I spend half of my time there, and then we homeschool our children as well.
Okay. So what's life like on the farm? What's like a typical day? Let's say... Let's talk about a work day for you. What's life like on that?
So on a work day, I get up at 5 a.m. And usually takes about 45 minutes to feed all the animals, milk the cows.
That's not a joke. We actually get up at around 5 a.m. Most mornings, especially when things are kind of in full swing. We get up together and do it. We work together to accomplish different tasks.
Love it though. I like getting up in the quiet dark of the morning and the stillness of the barn, and it actually starts my day off great. So
do you like it better when I get up to help you or when I don't?
I like both.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to give you more days where I don't, that's for sure. That's not necessarily true. So there's lots of stories behind when we're milking and when we're not and all that good stuff. And one of the things that I told Jana last week, you know, from time to time, we love to have people over the house, our friends, whatever, and or people hear stories and, you know, we've got a farm and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that is often said, and I believe it, you know, it's just like people say, it must be nice, you know, to live on a farm. And it is, it's very nice. It's a lifestyle that we've pursued. We love, but I told her the other day, I said, I don't think I've ever heard someone say that at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's 12 degrees outside and you still have to milk a cow. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say that must be nice, but it comes along with it, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
And she does it really, really well. So, works 3 days a week as a dental hygienist, homeschools kids, and is a great mom and wife too. What would the perfect day look like? If that's a normal work day where you have some, office hours and, you're cleaning teeth, what would a perfect day for you look like?
My favorite days are the days where we're together as a family and it's a nice slow morning. We have coffee together and, believe it or not, go outside and work on farm projects. I love accomplishing things. I love seeing like different things come to life on the farm. And I like being tired at the end of the day, knowing that we accomplished a lot. And I think it would probably end with like grilling out together as a family. And of course, perfect 70 degrees, not too hot, not too cold.
Good sunset, just yep. hanging out outside.
Yep.
Spending, I would say, I would answer that for you. Spending as much time outside as,
yes.
as humanly possible.
Yep.
What about what you're reading lately? Are you reading anything lately right now? Do you have any minutes that you have any books? Or maybe you're not reading right now, but a book that you've really enjoyed in the past, or what's that look like?
Well, I've been reading a book or doing a study on Habakkuk, which a friend gave to me, and it's called Yet, and it's basically a study on the book of Habakkuk, which is a promise to him as he is waiting. And so we've just been in the season of kind of transition and waiting for almost 3 years, I feel like. We felt the Lord was going to move us from our previous farm, and we felt like we had heard his voice very clearly. And so it's just been a lot of waiting over the past few years to see all of this kind of come to life. So a friend gave me this study and it's been really, really good. Just the book of Habakkuk is basically a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And he's asking a lot of questions, asking the Lord kind of what he's doing and why. And the Lord is showing him that his timing is perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think the question feels awkward because I know the answer. But if this was somebody else, I'd be asking them this question. What has been the hardest part of waiting in that process? Like moving, you know, it doesn't seem like necessarily that big of a deal. Like you're moving, right?
Yeah.
But you said there's been a lot of waiting and there's a lot of things within that period that the Lord has taught you and you're studying about. What's some of those things?
I think just knowing that we were very confident in where the Lord was leading us. And then it feeling like he had told us this, he had showed us this. And then it wasn't silence, but it was just like, okay, so when is it actually going to happen? You know, like it was kind of a long period between him showing us that, you know, we should get our farm ready to sell and to move. And, then when we finally put it on the market, it was a long time until we finally sold it, you know? So I think it was just a lot of, we know we're doing the right thing. We know we're doing what the Lord has shown us, but it's not happening at exactly the speed that we thought it would because yeah. His voice was so clear. So,
yeah. And I think for those listening to, you know, this is a different podcast for a different day, but there's a lot more. I think at stake, it moving farms was not just a quest for more or more land or a different house or anything like that, right?
Right.
Could you bullet point anything that?
I feel like it's like a 30-minute podcast in and of itself. I think, you know, the Lord just grew our hearts for some things that he wanted us to do in ministry and for our family, and that involved moving to a different place and more space. And so we wanted a space where, you know, we could eventually have our kids have land if they wanted to. We wanted my parents to be out there. But most of all, we really felt the Lord like wanting us to use it for ministry. And so he's just given us a lot of dreams and things that I think we want to do with the property. And yeah.
Yeah, lots of good things. You said something that maybe some people don't know. You said we wanted your parents to be out there. So if you don't know, Rick and Beth McCoy are Jana's parents, and which is probably a side fact, but you said we want them out there. So we know lots of people. We know several people who have attempted to live with their parents and failed or survive miserably. What makes you believe that we can do that, at this new farm successfully? And I know Rick and Beth are going to listen to this, so I'm just asking the question, you know, everybody's probably wondering.
I think, well, my parents, I'm trying to think how to explain this shortly, but my parents are extremely intentional and, are very careful in, I think, how they interact with our family and love us. Like, they're super supportive, but they also are really good about not being overbearing or all of those things. And they're a huge part of our life regardless. Like, they are with our family multiple days a week. My mom's with the kids and helps homeschool them. And they're just super involved with our family. And so it's just kind of like normal for them to be with us.
Yeah, I would say so too. I would say, you know, we have a great relationship, and I would encourage you exchange if you are entering that stage maybe where you are going to have adult children, maybe you do have adult children, maybe some of those children are looking towards marriage or they're going to be, I would encourage you to connect with Rick and Beth because they've definitely made, I feel like, family life, marriage life easy for us. And I can't think of any moments where they've burdened us, which all could change when they're living at the farm. I doubt it. I don't think that's possible. But yeah, so they're moving out there with us. There's a lot of ministry dreams that we have to do out there long term, not in place of exchange, but in parallel paths. So that's a conversation point you can ask Jana about at some point, you know, what we're going to do ministry wise out of the farm. Lots of great things there. What about a favorite passage in scripture? Do you have anything that you really love, cling to, go back and read often?
I am probably in Psalms almost every day at some point. But I think most recently my favorite Psalm has been Psalm 46. It just talks about not fearing, even though the earth would change, the mountains would slip into the heart of the sea, waters roar in foam. It just gives this picture of like chaos all around, but not fearing. And one of the verses in that passage is, God is in the midst of her and she will not be moved. He will help when morning comes, and then cease striving and know that I am God. I think just with a lot of the changes that we've had over the past year or so in our life, like just knowing that no matter what changes, you know, we can rest in knowing that he is in control, and also we can cease striving.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, obviously that believing that promise indicates and demands a relationship with the Lord that you can trust and that you have hope in, that you rest in. Tell us how you came to know and follow the Lord.
I was blessed to grow up in a home that loved Jesus. And we've already talked about my parents, but a lot of you guys know them, and they have poured into you. But I was blessed to call them mom and dad. And so I came to know Christ at a very early age in a very healthy way. And just a lot of the things that my parents, I think, put into, I don't know, into my life just helped steer me in a direction towards Jesus. And went to an amazing church, had a wonderful youth group, went to a Christian school. And so I was just surrounded by a lot of really godly people that steered me in the right direction. And I think, you know, as a teenager, probably 14 or 15, there was a point where, you know, I questioned, like, was my decision to become a believer based on a choice that I made or just what, you know, I'd been taught. And, you know, I think that's good to question those things. But I was just really blessed to grow up in a environment like that and come to know Christ at a really early age. Mm-hmm.
Can you ever remember not knowing about Jesus?
I mean, I remember accepting the Lord and, but I don't ever remember not knowing about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. I think, like you said, it sometimes can create some thoughts or wondering about, hey, if I didn't grow up like this, I wonder if I would have chose it or pursued it. And one of the places I look to is Paul's words to Timothy of, like, not despising your upbringing, but be grateful for your mother and grandmother who taught you these things. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe he was struggling with those same thoughts or wondering those things. And I think that long heritage of biblical knowledge and a love for Jesus, a real love for Jesus at a young age, speaks for ages and generations to come. I know that. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for it. Thanks for sharing that. What's something that you're excited about at Exchange at the moment?
I think one of the things that I've seen over the past, I don't know, year or two is just how the Lord has put the right people in the right positions and places. And I think a lot of the ministries at Exchange are just thriving and flourishing because of who the Lord has put in place to lead them. Like, I just see all the excitement in kids ministry, all the things that Jenny's doing there, all the things that Christy's doing for women's ministry, the discipleship classes. Like, I just feel like there's just been a lot of really great people put in leadership of those things. And it's just a testimony of who, if you put the right people in the right places, you know, ministries flourish and thrive.
Yeah, that's good. So how about this one? What's a ministry passion for you in general? What gets you excited? Where do you love serving? What's some of the things that you really enjoy and gets kind of your soul pumping?
I think I most enjoy serving in very just practical ways, mostly behind the scenes. But I do really love coordinating for kids ministry because I get to greet all of the kids when they come in, and some of them, you know, aren't so happy. Some of them are super excited. And even the new families that come in that check their kids in, I enjoy getting to interact with them. And, you know, it's kind of the first place that they come when they come into exchange. So I enjoy that a lot. Also, I knew you were going to ask this question. I was thinking about it when we were talking about the farm, but kind of aside from exchange, one of the things that we've become very passionate about is just ministering to other pastors. And that was one of the things that we really want to use the farm for in the future, just ministering to other pastors. We have gotten involved with WinShape in Georgia, which has a lot of different ministries, but we've gotten to go there and minister to other pastors and serve alongside them. And one of the things that we have seen is that not all pastors get to lead churches like Brian and Ed do. And so what I mean by that is they get to do it together and share the burden of things and share leadership. And that's become more and more apparent to Brian and I that, you know, it's much needed, and it makes ministry a lot easier and a lot more fun. And so that's something that we're kind of wanting to do more of in the future. And yeah, it's a passion of ours.
Yeah. And it's true. And she gave you a clue on some of the things that we want to do ministry wise on the farm. You probably always dreamt of being a pastor's wife. Is that right? Did it cross your mind?
I don't think it ever crossed my mind.
Yeah, probably not. But you do it good. This is like her sweet spot where it feels, like it's behind the curtains as we're recording this at the office. She doesn't have to look at you while she's speaking, so she's more comfortable here. But you've probably all eaten at our house at one point or another. I think up until we moved into the RV, we didn't feel like we should invite you guys over there. But every membership class at Exchange came through our front door at our first farm. Jana fed you guys if you are a member there. And so those are some of the ways that she thrives, I know, too. But as you've learned to be a wife of a pastor or an elder here at Exchange, as this is the theme of the podcast, how has that shaped the way that you pray for Exchange?
I think I most often pray for unity, because I think that's the biggest way that the enemy wants to divide the church is just by the church not being unified. And so I think that that's probably the thing that I pray for most. And I see, even though I don't know a lot of specifics, I do see when things are heavier on the elders and when there's situations that are harder than others. And so I think that that's, you know, praying for unity is probably the thing that most often comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. What about, how has it shaped the way that you pray for your pastors, not just me, but Ed or the other elders? How's that shaped the way that you pray for them? And
I think just praying that the Lord would speak super clearly, and that you guys would be unified in what you have heard from him. I know that, you know, when you guys agree and are unified, obviously decisions are a lot easier. And I think I pray a lot for his guidance and direction, that you guys will know exactly what he has for Exchange and for the people of Exchange. In the earlier days of Exchange, before we had the flex space, we had all the elder meetings at our house, and it was the sweetest time that, you know, to see
all
of you
guys. She made us great snacks then. Those were good days. You made us good snacks.
I did. Just to see you guys all around a table and to see, you know, you guys pray for Exchange and just to see it, you know, kind of from a distance a little bit. But those were really sweet times. And I think I just saw how much all of you love and care for the people of Exchange.
Well, I appreciate those words and appreciate those prayers. I know you pray for us. What about the kids? So we've got Brody, who's 17, Levi, who's 14, and Avon, who's 13. One of these questions is, how do you hope, I guess, their experience of being a pastor's kid encourages them to engage in church as they grow older?
I think that I just really want them to love the church, like not just Exchange, but to love the church. And I think it's a little bit different. Well, maybe all the elders' kids, but, you know, they do see some of the weightier things and see, you know, when things are a little bit harder, when things weigh heavy on you guys. And so I just...
What do you mean? I want to be clear about that. They see it. What do you mean by that?
I think, you know, they know... I mean, sometimes, you know, when you come home from an elder meeting, it's, you can tell if it was like a super encouraging one or if it was one that like was just really weighty with, you know, praying really hard for a lot of situations that people are in. And
I mean, to be clear on this too, I always feel encouraged being in the room with the other elders. And I think, you know, we have the privilege of walking through highs and lows with people. But I think our kids also see, you know, like when we're not home for dinner, you know, in seasons where we're gone a lot or there's more meetings than others, they understand that, like, they don't know what's going on or they don't know those lows, you know, that somebody's walking through. But I think they see it or experience it, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, my prayer for them would just be that they love the church and they see all the amazing things that the Lord is doing and has done, and that no matter, you know, where they go when they get older, that they will just truly love the church.
Yeah, that's the hope, that's the prayer for sure. We pray a lot for that. So we're about to wrap up here, Jan. We've got to bring it back to the bookend question. So you have to give probably some context on your two truths and a lie. So give us the two truths first, and then explain the lie.
Okay. Truth number one is that I was married at 18 years old.
Yeah. I had to snag you as quick as I could, because I knew it was going to be a very competitive market if I let you go further than that. So I took her while she didn't know any better.
And Rick McCoy somehow agreed.
Yeah, I'm still paying that dowry. So that's the truth.
That is the truth. The other truth, I worked at a nursing home and regularly took naps while I was supposed to be working.
That's true.
Only because I was... pregnant
in the bed with like some, like somebody's bed, you kicked him out and you climbed under the covers. All right, explain.
I had an office job. I worked in medical records and I was very newly pregnant and I could not keep my eyes open.
You were finishing dental hygiene school.
I was finishing dental hygiene school. I was working kind of in between classes, and anytime like everyone else, you know, stepped out of the office, I would literally just head hit the desk and zonk out.
Yeah, bouncing. I think back then, two jobs. Also, you were doing working for some greeting card companies, doing some stuff. and then, nursing home. So like, you know, how you survived that job or how you didn't get fired for taking naps at the desk is, unbeknownst to me. So what's the truth?
Or no, the lie.
Is it another lie? Oh yeah. Yeah. The lie.
Yeah. Those were both truths.
Okay. So what's the lie?
The lie is that I always wanted to be a dentist. I did not ever want to be a dentist. But I am a dental hygienist. I started dental hygiene school after Brian and I got married and just had always heard that it was a really great job for having a family. And, one of those jobs you can kind of work as much or as little as you want to and leave your work at the office and come home. And so, yeah, I did not want to be a dentist.
But. Yeah. That was for sure a lie. She wants to be a farmer. I would say that. That is true. Chicken math is real. If you don't know what that is, Google it. You'll find out all about it. And here's what I would say, Exchange. There's been part of stories and part of these episodes where maybe I've encouraged you to connect. And I obviously know Jana really well. But, you know, you might look in from the outside, and you might have learned a few things today. Maybe you learned that she has other jobs or homeschools, or maybe you look in and see her very busy, and she is, but she handles all of those things well. And I know that's the life of a mom many times. And so I would encourage you guys, if that's something you struggle with, I would encourage you to reach out to her, and she would be more than happy, I think, to connect with you and share with you a little bit about her schedule and how she balances being a mom and a wife and homeschooling kids and running a farm and a farm business and a dental hygienist, lots of things. And I think I'd say really, really well, all of those things. So I would encourage you to reach out. And I think as long as it's one-on-one and not on a stage, she'd probably love it, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, Jana, thank you for finally, after much begging and pleading and then threatening, coming on and recording a podcast with this Exchange. I hope that you have enjoyed this whole series of getting to know the wives that pray for you often, that love you really, really well. I hope that this has spurred on conversation for you with them. Maybe you've connected, but we hope that it's been really, really encouraging, life-giving, and just fun, really. So, Exchange, we'll see you next time on the next season of Exchanging Stories.